Okay, the date is the 7th of November, 2001. This is an interview with Carol Harris, Director of Elementary Student Achievement for the 9R School District of Durango. And this interview is with Whitney Fletcher Hull. Okay, so can you start by just talking about your position and the role that you play or your position plays in the school district and in education?
All right. I'm the Director of Elementary Student Achievement. I supervise the elementary principals and work with all the schools, their teachers and programs in various areas, including reading, early childhood, the English Language Learner Program, which we're going to be talking about, and also worked with programs such as Parent Partners, who work in all the schools, and the Gifted Talented Program, any and all the programs that happen in schools.
Okay. And can you talk a little bit about the history of the ELL or ESL programs in 9R, when it was started and why, and the role it plays?
I have been with the district for 5 years, and my understanding is that it was has been in the district in some form for probably 12 to 15 years. I'm not positive on that. At the beginning, there were some paraprofessionals who worked in the program to help students acquire the English language. That was changed to having teachers in the program, and I've always worked with the teachers, and they were on board. Some of them, we've increased the program a little bit. Some of them were on board before I came into this position, which was 4 years ago.
Okay. So are you aware of in what year it went from paraprofessionals to teachers, or...?
It was between 8 and 10 years ago, and that came about because of a civil rights case with OCR.
Okay. Can you talk, I'm assuming that maybe you know some of these things, but can you talk about some of the issues in Latino education today within our district, such as graduation rates? I know there's a gap there, and just what are some of the issues?
There is a gap in the graduation rate. There is a gap in achievement scores as measured now by the CSAP, Colorado's State Assessment Program, and by some of our other assessments. What we are finding and what we are at this point breaking out is, are our Hispanic students who are not in the English Language Learner Program performing at the same level as our other students? Where is the gap? Is it the gap because they're English language learners, or is the gap because they're Hispanic or Native American or whatever?
Okay.
We have found for sure that at third grade, at one school where we have the most ELL students, that if we took out the ELL students, there was not a gap between Hispanics or Latinos and Anglos.
There wasn't. So you think that it has to do more with the language than...
Yes.
Okay.
And the research shows that it takes 5 to 7 years for students to learn a language other than their first language to the point that they can perform on grade level with their academic peers in an academic way, because vocabulary is different in academics than it is in conversation.
Okay. So maybe then you can describe some of the programs and how do the ELL programs deal with that language issue.
Okay. We qualify our students based on an assessment called the Woodcock-Munoz that measures their verbal ability. And we determine that first by survey, where we ask parents of younger children in secondary schools or in high school, it can be the student themselves, is there another language in their home? Was there another first language besides English? If that answer is yes, then we move to the assessment. And if the assessment shows the students need help, then we offer them services. The services include some amount of time, and it varies by individual and by their need, with a certified teacher who has an endorsement or a master's in ESL.
Okay.
The terminology in Colorado just changed a couple of years ago to ELL from ESL, English as a second language, to English. English language learners.
Okay.
So you'll hear me say both of them.
So the programs that you have, does that mean that it's a one-on-one, or is it, what's the sort of structure of the programs that we offer?
Most of the teachers serve students in a school in a small group at their level of learning the English language. Sometimes it's one-on-one if that's all we have in a school. Our teachers are all itinerant and almost all travel to more than one school during the day to meet the needs of the students.
Okay.
That varies every year, or it could vary every month, depending on where the kids are.
Who's there? So it's a program where the kids wind up being removed from the room, and they're in their own area.
For the most part. Sometimes there's a push-in, we call it, or an inclusion model, where the teacher will actually go into the regular classroom. But most often it's pull-out for these particular services that the kids need.
So are they learning the English language at that point, or are they learning content in their own language?
Our program is not a bilingual program, although many of our teachers, all of our teachers speak another language of one sort or another and can converse and do converse with those students in their home language if that's possible. We're talking about Navajo or Ute or Spanish, but the instruction is in English, and their focus is on those children learning English, and particularly working with the classroom teachers to learn the content language of whatever curriculum area they're needing help
in. So they're learning the content in English.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but maybe at a different pace, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Or get some vocabulary development before a new unit's going to be taught so that they understand what's going on.
Okay. So I'm wondering, the issues you discussed are pretty much achievement and graduation rates, but how are the programs, the ELL programs in 9R, formulated to specifically address those issues, or are they not? Or, I'm sorry, that was kind of...
Phrase that again.
Okay.
Give me another chance.
So there are some issues in Latino education right now, such as graduation and achievement. How are the programs for these, how are ELL programs designed to address these issues, such as achievement?
They are designed to help the students feel more comfortable in the school, number one, to feel accepted in the school and valued in the school, which has direct relation to their being able to learn. And then they are designed to help them learn a content area to understand the English language so that they can learn a content area and perform better, which leads to graduation.
Okay.
All of the work with them also helps them to be encouraged to stay in school, that their needs are going to be met, that they are being understood, and they are valued.
Okay. So the policies that we have, or programs, how are they handed down? Are they formulated on the state level? Is there room for community or parental feedback to formulate a program that works? Is it community-based? Is it federally based? How do you find that it...
We use lots of research and lots of materials from all those sources. It is based on the student need, and each of the teachers plans for those students based on what they need in what curriculum area, whether it's math or social studies, or, of course, reading is included for everybody. But it comes from a variety of sources. We don't have a set curriculum that in kindergarten you do this and at 12th grade you do that. It's not set up that way because it supports the curriculum in the regular classroom, which is set up that way.
Okay, so you think that there's enough flexibility that it can really meet the needs of the kids?
Yes,
okay.
We have an excellent staff.
And how effective do you think that these programs are?
I think they're very effective. We do a study on the assessment I talked about that measures the oral language ability of those students, the Woodcock-Munoz, and it is showing that we're making more than a year's gain every year with those students, which, of course, we've got to do is make more than a year's gain. And we measure it for every student. We measure it by school group so that we can track that and see where some group needs more support or whatever.
Oh, great. And so do you think as well that that the programs, since they're effective in helping learn the language, does it mean that they're also effective in addressing the issues in education, like achievement then?
Yes, I do. Of course, it'd be nice to have more people on the staff and serve the students with more time. We feel mm-hmm. like it's adequate time according to guidelines, and the guidelines are very broad, but we'd like to have more if we could. And always money is an issue.
Okay.
Also, scheduling their time, pulling them out of the classroom, means they're missing something even though we're helping them prepare. So we're moving to programs where it's a part of their curriculum. They're not missing something. They're just in a group getting the instruction a little bit differently than the kids in another group are.
Okay.
That's been very effective to move to that mode of delivery.
Great. And I just have two more questions, really.
Okay.
But I'm not sure exactly how much you know about this being more on the administrative level than in the mm-hmm. classrooms and in the schools, but how does the ethnic interaction, what's your perspective on the ethnic interaction right now in the schools? Are there problems with interaction? I mean, are there issues in the school based on that?
There are some issues. I believe that things are getting better. There's been some diversity training for teachers that has happened, and there have been anti-bullying programs, which is now state law in Colorado, to help students learn to be not just not to be bullies, but to learn how to solve problems for themselves, but also an understanding to treat people and value all people and respect all individuals. I believe that through these programs, our ELL teachers work hard to bring different cultural things and keep that in the forefront of the minds of all teachers and all students within the school so they're integrated. I believe that that's helping. At the high school, we've set up a center called the YOU mm-hmm. Center that has a place, a location, as well as a certified teacher who can help tutor kids, bring them in, teach them computer skills, other things that help them feel like they have a place to go within the high school. That's been very effective.
Great.
And that's not just for ELL kids. That's but particularly for Latino students, whether they're in ELL or not, but ELL students are certainly included, and this person does speak Spanish.
Okay.
Do know that we have many languages in our schools. In some years we've had 12 different languages.
Right.
Not just
It's not
Spanish.
Just Spanish. Right. I'm just actually... Right.
Yeah.
My project is on that, but I am definitely
right.
aware of that.
Yeah.
And so do you think that diversity training and anti-bullying and the YOU Center and all of these things mm-hmm. are pretty much addressing the issue well enough, or is there still a lot more room for attention there?
Oh, there's always room in our whole world for that, as we know right now today. But I think that we have a lot of dedicated people here who are aware of that and are working on that, and different events from Columbine to September 11th to incidences in our own town are making people more aware and I hope more
okay.
caring.
Good. And then I know you've only been in the district for 4 or 5 years, so you might not mm-hmm. really know as much about this, but do you know maybe how all of this compares to the historical Durango School District as far as ethnic relationship issues or language issues or anything like that?
I've had this story told to me many times, the broad story that people carry with them, in that there has been a problem forever, or a division in the community between different ethnic groups.
Mm-hmm.
My perspective on it, coming from a big city where I've seen more of that, is that there is progress being made in Durango, and that most of the educators I know are not prejudiced in any way towards these children and wanting to help them achieve. I also think perhaps the accountability in our schools now has brought people's attention even more to that, as far as what are we really going to do to help these people feel accepted and therefore be able to learn better, because we know they're just as intelligent as everyone else. So what is it that's keeping them from learning? Maybe it's not being accepted in the school.
Okay. So you think that in a lot of ways standardized testing and that sort of accountability has caused people to have to address the issues more?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
That's my personal opinion, but I definitely believe so.
Great.
And we look at that all the time. We look at what different groups, of all different kinds of groups, whether we're talking about the gifted, talented students,
right,
or whomever, or somebody of a certain race, we are always looking at that and seeing, do we have gaps? We shouldn't have gaps. What are we going to do about it? Making a plan and making that plan happen.
Right.
And we're seeing the gaps close.
Great.
And that's really good.
Is there anything else you think is pertinent that I haven't addressed?
I don't believe so.
Great.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.